Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, on today's show, one of the most talented men that I know, and I'm serious, this guy is like, you've heard of the one-man bands around the world. This guy seems to be it. His name is Buddy Green, and he's a songwriter, he's a singer, he's an instrumentalist, and a great, great Christian guy. Buddy, thanks for taking time to spend with us today.
Daniel, it's a pleasure.
Hey, man, you and I share the same home state of Georgia. And as a matter of fact, not too far away of towns, I think you grew up in Macon, right?
That's right, yeah.
I'm a Warner Robins guy.
Wow, right down the road.
Yeah, really. So growing up in Macon, what were your musical influences?
Oh, gosh. Well, Otis Redding was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing him come out of a music store when I was about 10, 11 years old. And it was just a huge moment, sort of indelibly etched in my memory.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
And then I loved the Allman Brothers, of course, came out. That was a little later on in my high school years when they were making their home.
Yeah. Lord, I was born a rambling man.
All the soul music that came through Macon. I remember seeing a lot of great soul acts like Sam and Dave. Brown. I was very much a child of the 60s and, you know, pop music that was ruling the day, you know, Motown and Memphis Soul and all that stuff. The Beatles, of course, and all. But music was a, you know, Macon was sort of a hotbed town for music.
Yeah, from the stories I've heard, too, especially. Now, did you play an instrument early on, or did you just enjoy listening to it?
Well, I sang early on. I mean, from as long as I can remember. But my first instrument was a ukulele when I was about 10.
Uh-huh.
That my sister had discarded it, and so I got her to teach me the, you know, four chords she knew, and started learning folk songs. And shortly thereafter, the Beatles invaded America, and I started learning Beatles songs on the uke.
Wow.
And as soon as I could get my hands on a guitar, I made the graduation to that.
Have you picked up one lately?
A uke?
Yeah.
You know, I still have I had a baritone uke at one point, and I still have it. And occasionally I pick it up and play it. But no, you know, I really wish I had a really good ukulele, because they're a great sound and a neat little instrument.
But, and they don't,
unfortunately. Maybe Christmas.
Right. They don't get the credit they deserve. I mean, you've got a history with it. Ben Spear used to play one.
And, well, that's true. And I remember a few years ago in a tribute to George Harrison, Paul McCartney playing a ukulele, because George Harrison loved to carry a uke around with him. He did a great version of something, and it was just perfect on that ukulele.
Well, you've gone back to the roots of Macon in some of your latest recordings. I know Rufus, I think that was just a smash hit. And now the new one that's been released, Happy Man, kind of in that same vein. Are these the two main albums you've done of just this good music that maybe from your early days?
Yeah, these are sort of celebrations of my musical roots. I think bluegrass is kind of a thread that weaves through all of it. But, you know, we've talked about a lot of different influences, and it all finds its way into my music. On Rufus, I did a copy of a cover of All My Lovin' by the Beatles.
Yeah, slow it down a bit.
All my lovin', I'll send to you.
So, you know, there's everything from the Beatles to fiddle music to, you know, Bill Monroe to blues. But it's all kind of, you know, rootsy stuff. I think it was around my college years that I started investigating the roots of popular music and really got, you know, entranced with all that stuff and never have gotten over it, really.
Well, let's hear some now on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends.
On a highway headed south somewhere to Dixie, where the cotton blooms in the spring and the snow don't fly. Going to rest these chilly bones in the southern sunshine and live where the weather's warm until I die. Well, North Dakota, got my better years. Montana, you got 5 years of my life. A bunch of sub-zero winds will never touch these bones again. Southern folks can't live on snow and ice. On a highway headed south somewhere to Dixie, where the cotton blooms in the spring and the snow don't fly. Well, go rest these chilly bones in the southern sunshine and live where the weather's warm until I die. Line, I'll throw away my coat, and my goose down underwear will have to go. Well, I'll never live again where the weather chills you to the bone. I'm tired of living like an Eskimo. On the highway headed south somewhere to Dixie, where the cotton blooms in the spring and the snow don't fly. I'm gonna rest these chilly bones in the southern sunshine and live where the weather's warm until I die. Well, I'm looking for a highway headed south somewhere to Dixie, where the cotton blooms in the spring and the snow don't fly. I'm gonna rest these chilly bones in the southern sunshine and live where the weather's warm until I die. Well, I'm gonna live where the weather's warm until I die.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with one of my favorites, I gotta be honest. His name is Buddy Green, and if you are not familiar with his music, you need to familiarize yourself. And that's what we're doing this hour, letting you hear some of the early stories of Buddy's career, and of course, music that spans his how many numbers now? How many years have you been going?
Oh gosh, as a solo performer, I got about 20 years now.
So 20 years of music, and it's all incredibly great. Into the Christian realm of music, when were you saved, and when did the spiritual aspect find itself into the rhythm and notes that you play?
Well, you know, I grew up in the church, going to Baptist church when I was a kid, and wandered away during my high school years, and just became a prodigal son until almost age 30, and I guess it was the last 4 or 5 years of my 20s that I was starting to search spiritually. I was really, you know, I was really disappointed with my life and the way that I was, you know, turning it into a big mess. And so, you know, I started kind of going back to church a little bit and opening up the Bible and reading it for the first time as a thinking adult. And you know, God was there, and he just, you know, brought me back into the fold, so to speak. It was a slow process, but eventually I was, you know, back in church and just really discovering the gospel for myself, and have been doing that ever since. It's a process that's never really complete until we're finally joined with Him. But it started really 25 years ago, maybe something like that.
And the music that you've put out is just incredible. I remember the album with you have the suspenders on and the harmonica, and that's just some unique sounds coming out of Christian music in that era.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do, where you turn me around in the light of the truth. And Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do, where you turn me around in the light of the truth. And Lord, I want. In the middle of the night, not a hope in sight. Lord, you found me there, but with your wonderful light. Yeah, and I just want to give you praise for the rest of my days. When I think of the way you love me, Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do, when you turn me around in the light of the truth. And Lord, I want to thank you. Every night and every day, Lord, I want to pray. cause you feed my soul in the best kind of way, yeah, when I stumble and fall. Well, you're the one that I call, and you're always there to help me, Lord, anytime at all. Lord, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. Will you turn me around in the light of the truth? Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. Will you turn me around in the light of the truth? Lord, I want to thank you.
Yeah, that was my first album. I remember we had three pictures of me in suspenders and my kids love, they get a good laugh out of that.
I bet.
But, you know, it was a time, I had just finished playing 4 years with Jerry Reed on the road with him, and that was a huge break for me in my career, and it brought me to Nashville, and I learned an incredible amount of music and everything about the business and everything from Jerry, and so I was really, you know, kind of poised and ready, and I'd been writing these songs about my newfound faith, and they all had a bit of a, you know, funky bluegrassy bent to them, which was unusual for Christian music at the time.
Speaking of your kids, how many do you have, and what are their ages?
I have two girls. They're 19 and 14,
and
they're great.
Do they get into your kind of music, or do they have their own ideas?
No, they actually like it. My oldest really has a good appreciation for, you know, rootsy kinds of music and all. They don't get quite as hardcore as I can get, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, slowly but surely they are getting a taste for the, you know, more acoustic side and rootsy side of things. My youngest, she's definitely more pop oriented in her taste. But that's the way it went with my oldest too. And the way it was with me, I think as you get older, if you appreciate music, you just sort of, you inevitably are drawn to the roots of things.
Well, and with kids, especially kids like your kids' age, I think it's interesting. A lot of people may be surprised that teenagers and young people would be drawn to this kind of music, because we may see it as a little more laid back, a little more old folk music. But I think because it's earthy, because it's very authentic, I think the younger generation is looking for something real, and they hear it in these sounds.
Right.
I mean, you find that true at your concerts?
Yeah, I do. In fact, very early on, even when I started first going out as a Christian artist, I remember people coming up to me after my concerts and saying, you know, I really don't like country music, but I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I always took that as a great compliment, because I felt like, you know, here's somebody who really wants more than what they're getting on commercial radio.
Right, right.
But, you know, you're right. I think when I was in my formative years, I listened to, when I'd listen to somebody like the Allman Brothers or Eric Clapton or, you know, any of my heroes, they were always alluding to their heroes, these pioneering figures, you know, whether it was Robert Johnson or Bill Monroe, or, you know, they hearkened back to something that was deeper than them and more original than them. So that made me want to go investigate.
Here's more of Buddy Green now on Daniel Britton Friends.
I'm dancing with the angels. I'm singing with the saints. I feel the Holy Spirit moving in this place. And I'm celebrating Jesus' love like I've never known, from the Father, Son, and Spirit flowing from the throne. There's a mighty river flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, flowing to believers, bringing life to a thirsty land, flowing, giving hope to the hopeless, freedom from the curse of sin, flowing from the God who gives his children faith to follow him. Once I was a helpless sinner, oh, I couldn't make it right. Desperate to fix myself, just stumbling in the night. Then, oh, what a faithful Savior Christ upon a cross for me, promising an endless love and grace to set me free. And there's a mighty river flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, flowing to believers, bringing life to a thirsty land, flowing, giving hope to the hopeless, free. curse of sin flowing from the God who gives his children faith to follow him. Jesus, oh, but how I need his grace to overcome my fears and self-protecting ways. And I can hear the master calling, how I want to follow him. He promised the Holy Spirit, will I trust in him? And there's a mighty river flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, flowing to believers, bringing life to a thirsty land, flowing, giving hope to the hopeless freedom. The curse of sin flowing from the God who gives his children faith to follow him.
Our guest today is Buddy Green on Daniel Britt and Friends. By the way, Buddy's website is buddygreen.com, and Green is with an E, which is also interesting since we kind of come from the same area of the country. My maternal family, my mother's side of the family, are Greens, but they're spelled like the color. They don't have the E. But I've met a lot of Greens in that area with the E, and I'll always ask, are you any relation to Buddy Green? And sometimes I find some distant relatives of yours. At least they claim you.
Yeah, there's a lot of us in that middle Georgia area, that's for sure. And my theory is that we put the E on the end just to sort of get uppity or something.
Yeah, that's right.
To hide our sordid past or something.
You are now in Nashville and based out of the Nashville area, of course, just, you know, one of the great music capitals. When did you decide to move there?
It was a year after I'd taken the job with Jerry Reed.
Yeah,
I was commuting back and forth for just about a year doing that job, and it was wearing me out. But I was also seeing that, you know, if I was really going to make a go of it in music, I needed to move to a place like Nashville.
Yeah,
and I was newly married, and I talked my wife into leaving Georgia and coming up to Tennessee, where we didn't know anybody but musicians.
Yeah,
and so. And
they're sometimes weird.
Oh, it was a rough year. But we got plugged in and met some people, and that was about 1984 or something like that.
Wow.
And it's been a great home. We've loved living here.
Well, hey, if you could take all of the conveniences as a musician of Nashville and take it anywhere you wanted to, what area of the country do you think you'd like to live in? If you could do all the music stuff that you do in Nashville somewhere else, where would that be?
Oh, it would be in some coastal area. You know, I love coastal Georgia.
Yeah.
We often go down in that part of the world. There's something about the marshes and the big live oaks and all that really appeals to me. So I'd probably take it down there.
Do you find yourself, maybe on the coast or when you go on maybe a secluded place on vacation just to get away, is that when some of your best songwriting comes out? Or do you write out of the busyness of life?
You know, probably more out of the business of life. I think I'm a very sporadic writer, for one thing, but it seems like that I have a lot of memories of songs just sort of coming as I'm driving down the road or getting up in the morning. Always at inopportune moments, it seems like I always have to stop something I'm in the middle of to, you know, make myself put the idea down. Usually come back to it later and work on it, but yeah, it comes in the middle of things. Because I think that the best songwriting really does come out of, you know, the vicissitudes of life. I've often wondered what it would be like to just isolate myself in some little cabin somewhere and see if anything really happened.
Might be surprised. Well, as a songwriter, this is always amazing to me. I'm creative in some areas, but I am obviously not a songwriter. So I try to think, if I'm just driving down the street, how am I going to come up with a thought and then make it rhyme or put it to a melody? And it just doesn't work for me. Obviously, it works for a lot of great songwriters like yourself. Do you find something in your mind that says, this has never really been said like this before and it needs to be said in a song? Or do you have a hook book like Gaithers have, or they come out of sermons?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a very organic kind of process for me. Usually it does come from an experience that I'm going through or that I've gone through. You know, recently some dear people, friends of mine, you know, passed on, and they're such huge influences on my life, and that I find myself wanting to write about them. And I wouldn't be surprised if something came out of that. You know, a similar thing where this did happen was a song I wrote once called When I Die. And it was based on a funeral experience I had, you know, playing at the funeral of a man who had passed away, sort of untimely death, and he left the family behind. But the funeral was so transformed by the faith of this family that I came away, you know, just feeling like I had to try to put it into a song. So eventually I did squeeze it into 3 or 4 minutes of When I Die.
Charlie was a righteous man. He was saved by the blood of the Lamb, and he loved this life, but he longed for a better land. And the older and wiser he got, the more he would place his lot on the things unseen in the hope of a heavenly plan. Now Charlie had a faithful wife, a few kids, and a pretty good life, and a pretty good sense that he didn't have a very long time. And Charlie got sick and he never got well, but Charlie was ready and able to tell his grieving family the last thing on his mind. He said, when I die, you can put me in a box and bury my bones wherever you please. Well, you can cry and wail, but it ain't gonna bother me, 'cause I'll be a long time gone to a bright and happy home, celebrating and singing and worshiping around my heavenly Father's throne. Celebrating and singing and worshiping around my heavenly Father's throne. The sky was cold and gray at the funeral home that day, and the friends and family gathered from far and wide, and they all stood by Charlie's grave, and they listened to the message the preacher gave, and thought it was over when up stood Charlie's bride. She said, I'm sure glad to see you all here, 'cause Charlie held you all so dear, and he wants to see you all in heaven when it comes your time. So if you want to die like Charlie died, you gotta live like Charlie lived, loving God and people and longing for the other side. Now the tears and the silence and the cold and rain were not gonna have their way, 'cause the hope of the resurrection was ringing through all she had to say, and her love for Charlie and Jesus filled her heart in a wondrous way. And the joy of the Lord spilled out of that child as everybody heard her say. She said, when I die, you can put me in a box and bury my bones wherever you please. Well, you can cry and wail, but it ain't gonna bother me, 'cause Charlie and I'll be a long time gone to a bright and a happy home, celebrating and singing and worshiping around my heavenly Father's throne. Celebrating and singing and worshiping around our heavenly Father's throne.
we've gotten in a way of delineating between our church life and our real life, you know? I mean, sometimes we fall into that. We separate what goes on in a church building between what goes on outside, you know? And I'm as guilty as anybody of confining my life to the insides of a church wall. But I've come to believe more than ever in these days that that's my starting place for the week. That's just where I get my batteries charged and where I go out and enter into a salt and light relationship with the world. I was thinking about, though, that dilemma of getting caught up in the church building and thinking it's got to happen in that church building if it's going to happen, when all the time Jesus is out there doing something. And what he's doing is exciting, and it takes faith. He's taking the body of Christ into the world because we are his hands and his feet and his words to a hurting world. Here's a little song about it. There's a big crowd gathered at First Church. They're dressed up and they're looking so fine. They lean forward in their pews to hear the good news and get a handle on God's design. But outside, the need just keeps getting greater. In a sickle world, tired and sore. Back inside they give praise, but God must be amazed when they don't look beyond that door. Because Jesus has left the building. Yeah, he's back out on the street. He's busy dealing his mercy to every hurting soul he meets. He's out helping the homeless find shelter. He's out helping the jobless find work. He's donating his time to the feeble of mind, and for this some people think he's berserk. Oh, but he's just helping the helpless find justice and mercy in a cold, cruel world. See, his heart aches for all kinds of people, for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that's why Jesus has left the building. Oh, he's back out on the street. He's busy dealing his mercy to every hurting soul he meets. Given us all of his blessings so we can be blessings to the ones who need to know God's only Son is in the business of setting people free. And that's why Jesus has left the building. Snap us back. Yeah, he's back out on the street. He's busy dealing his mercy
every hurting soul he meets. Back inside, some people just keep on waiting and praying that he would come down. But Jesus has left the building. He's out spreading his love all around. Yeah, he's out spreading his love all around. He's out spreading his love all around. One more time. He's out spreading his love. Spreading his love all around.
The album Buddy Green and Friends Live, I mean, was that just a popular album for you or what?
Well, I'm not sure how popular it was, but it was fun, and I loved doing it, and I loved the result of it. It was one of those things that I remember going on stage that night, and there were so many loose ends that I just thought that I'd made a big, huge mess, and I was trying to figure out how I would recover from it financially. And so I just pray, you know, Lord, just help me forget about that. I think I can recover from this within a year's time or something. So help me just enjoy myself tonight, whether we get anything or not. And I did. You know, he really answered the prayer. It was a great night of fun with an audience and a great band. I had some wonderful people helping me out that night, and captured a lot of good tunes many of which I still play to this day.
And in the entertainment business and showbiz, so much is faked, so much is produced and just put on, that I think in that spirit of that album and at a Buddy Green concert, it comes back to authentic, to something that's real. And it seems very simple. You're down home. You're just having fun with some friends. And from time to time around the country, you reunite occasionally with great musicians that you bring on the road with you. I remember in Macon, I think it was last Christmas that you performed at
The Douglas Theater.
At the Douglas Theater, yeah. And you brought some great musicians along with you. How often do you travel just totally by yourself versus taking someone with you like that?
But these days, I'm hardly ever by myself. I really prefer, you know, playing with somebody, and usually in small units. You know, Jeff Taylor has accompanied me a lot in the last couple of years. I did a lot of duet performances with Pat Flynn over the last 4 or 5 years. And also with me at that Christmas performance you talked about was Trisha Walker. Uh-huh. Trisha and I have written songs together, and she and I have done a lot of Christmas events in the past, so she was just a natural for a Christmas tour. In fact, Jeff and Trisha and I are touring again this Christmas. But I just, you know, I like to keep it kind of small so there's not too much to manage. And you don't have to, you know, do a whole lot of rehearsing. It's really just kind of showing up and having fun, and the songs can kind of arrange themselves. There is that element of fun that I really want to have, and thankfully too, if I do travel with somebody, they're always a friend. You know, somebody that's not just a hired gun, but somebody who's really fun to hang with and make music with. That to me, whenever you can communicate that from a stage, it's just a plus to the evening.
Make welcome Bruce Carroll. Bruce is one of those guys that I feel like I can just about tell him anything, you know? And you need somebody like that. Amen. And there's several of those brothers here tonight who are friends that are closer than a brother. Mark Arnold, you here? Well, I thought he was a friend.
Whoops.
They're never there when you need them, I tell you.
I'd quit right there, buddy.
Anyway, I was going to say that Mark Arnold inspired this song, but he didn't. But Bruce did, all by himself. And this was an idea for a song. I've had people like Mark or Bruce give me a call and just say, you know, you're just on my heart. I was just thinking about you, wondering how things are going, you know. And they usually call when you really need that kind of phone call. So imagine, if you will, two guys. One of them has the other one in mind. Gives him a call just to wonder if anything's going on. This is a phone conversation. called Brother of Mine.
Well, hello there, friend. I've called you again just to see how you're dealing with today. I just thought you might need to know that I was here to love you in a brotherly way. You can tell me about your pain and tell me about your gain and tell me everything is doing fine. I just want to be your friend, 'cause buddy, you're a brother of mine.
Well, I'm so glad that you called. I was just about to fall and I needed a reminder of the fact that I've been born again. From sin, and I never ever have to go back to the time when I struggled all alone and my troubles. That's the time that I want to leave behind. Well, I'm so glad that you called. It tells me you're a brother of mine.
Brother of mine, there's more to being friends than this old world would have us believe. There are burdens to share
with a lot of love and care
and time humble on our knees. But I think we both know the only way to grow, and we gotta learn to lay it on the line.
'Cause you're more than a friend,
buddy, you're a brother of mine.
Friend, you really know me well, and I'm glad you could tell that the Lord really wanted you to call.
Yeah, we both know, always be another chance, either one of us might fall.
And the next time around, if it's you who's down and it's me who's calling you to find that you really need a friend,
yeah, I'll always need you, brother of mine. Brother of mine, there's more to being friends than this old world would have us believe. There are burdens to share
with a lot of love and care
and time humble on our knees. But I think we both, it's the only way to grow, and we gotta learn to lay it on the line.
'Cause you're more than a friend,
buddy, you're a brother of mine. Yeah, you're more than a friend, buddy, you're a brother of
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Our guest today is Buddy Green. In fact, this is part one of a two-part series that we're featuring of Buddy Green. His music is incredible. And in fact, this is from the album Regarding Sinners and Saints. Let us love, sing, and wonder.
Let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He has brought us near to God. Let us love the Lord who bought us, pitied us when enemies, called us by his grace and taught us, gave us ears and gave us eyes. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He presents our souls to God. Salvation holds in view the conqueror's crown. Let us wonder, grace and justice, join and point to mercy's store. When through grace in Christ our trust is, justice smiles and asks no more.
has secured our way to God. So let us praise and join the chorus of the saints enthroned on high. Here they trusted him before us, now their praises fill the sky. You have washed us with your blood. You have washed us with your blood. You have washed us with your blood. You are worthy, Lamb of God. So let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the Lord's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He has washed us with his blood. He has brought us near to God. He has brought us near to God.
We're listening to the music of Buddy Green on this edition of Daniel, Britt, and Friends. You ever run into the problem of looking down your nose with your peacock feathers? Maybe you're a recovering Pharisee, too. Listen to Buddy on this edition of Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Well, I'm a Pharisee in recovery. With new eyes I can see a big sinner in me. But it's the way of my human heart to confess all the people's sins, reluctant to admit my part or the deeper problem within. But thank God he won't let me be or remain in my hypocrisy. Yes, sooner or later I'll be on my knees, honest to God, a recovering Pharisee. Wow. Well, I'm a sinner and a saint simultaneously. You know I'm not what I was or what I'm going to be. Still I got that old tendency to be all a wicked man can be. It takes more than knowing right from wrong. It takes more than singing gospel songs. It takes a life for the great I am to produce any good in me. He's the vine, I'm the branch, and I'm learning to be honest to God, a recovering Pharisee.
Green is our guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. And regret's not the right word that I want to use here, because I think if I would ask you that question, do you regret being just Buddy Green, just being what you are, authentic, earthy, rootsy kind of music? I think you would say, no, you don't regret that. But is there ever a time when you think, I wish maybe from marketing standpoints, it might be better to put myself in a box so that at least I could be classified as genuine bluegrass or genuine country or gospel or what in the world am I?
Well, yeah, you know, I am a marketing nightmare. And one more. Yeah, if that's what it would take to get more success, yeah, I guess. I guess you know I am one who can definitely have a pity party about, you know, boy, I wish I were on the cover of that magazine, or I wish I had been a big bus, or, you know, I wish I was on that award show.
So pudding and I gave it all away. Just seen Sally Gooden and I looked down the road. Seen Sally coming and I thought to myself, I'd kill myself a running. I love a tater pie, I love an apple pudding. I love a little gown that calls Sally Gooden. And I dropped a tater pie, left the apple pudding. And I went across the mountain for to see Sally Gooden now. Sally is my daisy, and if she gets mad, well, I think I'm going crazy. A little dog will bark, a big dog will bite you, and a little gal will coach you, and a big gal will fight you. A raining and a pouring, and the creek's running muddy, and I'm so drunk that I can't stand study. I'm going up the mountain, going to marry little Sally, raise corn on the hillside and cane in the valley. And I gave it all away. Just see Sally Gooden and I looked down the road. Seen Sally coming and I thought to myself, I'd kill myself a running. I love a tater pie, I love an apple pudding. And I love a little gown that I call Sally Gooden. I drop a tater pie, left the apple pudding. And I went across the mountain board to see Sally Gooden now.
Green on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You know, when I really look back and think about my career and just where it's taken me, it's amazing that I get to do what I do, that I'm, you know, I'm at this age in life and still enjoying it more than ever.
Yeah.
Making a living and supporting my family. So I'm a blessed man. And when I sit down and count the blessings, then I really have nothing to complain about.
And I guess if that were forced, you probably wouldn't be as happy as you are these days, as you are a happy man.
Yeah. Well, I remember having a conversation with Bill Gaither many years ago, kind of bemoaning the fact that I wasn't really getting very far as far as becoming very well known or anything. And he said, you know, buddy, just keep doing what you're doing. Let the world come around to you.
Yeah.
And so he was just trying to encourage me, I think. But it's good advice. I think you have to be true to who you are as an artist and let the chips fall. And, you know, I wouldn't have planned my life this way, but I sure am glad for the way it's turned out.
Slow. Give me your hand, we made a stand. Now you have made me a happy man.
give me love, my turtle love. Now I wanna give up my wrong for the right. A second chance, sweet romance. Well, it's enough to make a lame man dance. When of the spring, now I can sing the happy song of a happy man.
Daniel Britt and Friends. That's from the new album of the same name, Happy Man, featuring a lot of great folksy kind of sounding music, but just just good old Buddy Green music. It's hard sometimes to put into a box, but hey, that's okay. Buddy Green's our guest today and next week as well. We're coming back with part two of the program. Of course, Buddy Green is also a musician extraordinaire and especially known for playing the harmonica. Listen to this familiar hymn on Daniel Britt and Friends. Buddy Green on Daniel Britt and Friends. He's an amazing talent and one of my all-time favorites. And we're not finished with him. Coming back next week with part two with Buddy Green as we highlight his music. He's an incredible songwriter. He's an incredible singer and communicator and a musician, as you heard there, on harmonica and guitar and ukulele, many instruments under his belt. So next week, come on back and we'll do it again. Finish out the Buddy Green story here on Daniel Britt and Friends. You can keep up to date with what's happening here on the show at danielbritt.com. Just go to danielbritt.com online to find out more. See you back here next week, same time, same place, for Daniel Britt and Friends.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.